Thank you, Mark and Miriam. That's a powerful song. It goes right along with what the Lord's laid on my heart to speak to you tonight. It's about, that song reminds me of God's glory and how God leads us along and our paths and how He can give us that peace like a river and in our souls to help us. Tonight I want to look at Acts chapter 7. I want to look at the life of Stephen. The title of this message would be Living for the Glory of God. I want to thank Dr. May for letting me speak tonight. It's a great honor and privilege, and thank you very much. And thank you. We'll be looking in Acts chapter 7, and we'll start out looking in verse 54. You know, all of us are here tonight because, of course, of Jesus Christ and His life and God bringing us into the fold. But you know, somebody had to tell us about Jesus. Somebody had to call us and remind us, or you looked or saw somebody in your life that you wanted something that they had. There was a light in them that was just unbelievable and that this world does not offer. And that brought you to know Christ. And Christ used other people and uses us to tell other people about Him and to help bring other people to Him. And so when we look at the life of Stephen, what a wonderful life that we have here before us. The Bible just lays it out so nicely to let us know, give us an example. Of course, Christ is our great and best example, but Stephen is an example of a Christian who was sold out totally to the Lord. A person who lived his full life to the glory of God. Nothing was stopping him, and he was on that road. So when I look, the Bible devotes at least 2.5 chapters. Luke writes this about this man. So there's something that Luke wants us to get as he wrote Acts. He wants to tell us something. There's something about Stephen that we all need to catch, and that is living for the glory of God. We catch Stephen in this passage in chapter 7, verse 54. He had preached a sermon, and the Sanhedrin had brought him into their council, and they were bringing false witnesses against him, and they were saying, "No, this is wrong what you're doing, Stephen." And the Bible says that they could not match their wisdom with his. They couldn't argue with him, and it made them mad. And so we see them beginning a process of stoning Stephen. Because they just were cut to their hearts, the Bible says. Verse 54 of chapter 7 in Acts. And when they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen. But Stephen, calling upon God, said, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, thus he fell asleep. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word tonight. Father, I pray that you speak to our hearts. Give us the message that we need tonight through your word. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Stephen is the first recorded martyr that we have. What is it that made his life very special? I believe that he was a man that really was full of God's glory, and he knew what it was like to live for God. He's an example for us. He's definitely an example for me. We all need examples, people that we can look to, and God gives us those examples all through life. Sometimes we just have to look for them. As a song, one of the songs, "Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth." So God gives us these glimpses of truth. Sometimes He does it through other people. Oftentimes He does it through the Word. When I look at Stephen, first of all, he's a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. When I look back in chapter 6, verse 8, They chose seven deacons, the disciples did, and they got together, and Stephen is mentioned as the first one of the deacons they chose. Now, he was no ordinary deacon. He did all kind of things. He preached and taught, and as we read, we'll see other things. But it said this was the, look at the example that they gave. It says, and saying, pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Stephen, a man full of faith and the Holy Ghost. So I read that and I said, man, I want to be like Stephen. I want to be the man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. What is it? What is it that I need to recognize in my life? The Bible reminds us in Hebrews 11 that faith is the substance of things hoped for, but the evidence of things not seen. Now, I'm not sure about Stephen, but I'm fairly sure that he probably saw our Lord Jesus. And he definitely saw the evidence of Jesus with the disciples. And he saw the healings, evidently, and he saw some things. But Stephen still had to have faith. He still had to have faith in the things that Jesus said. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes through the Father but through me. He had to believe those words. He had to believe those words where Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. Believe on me. In my Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I would have told you. But if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. So Stephen had to take these words to heart and believe in him. He had faith. He was a man of faith. The Bible says in 1 John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcometh this world. And this is the victory that overcometh this world, even our faith. So first of all, Stephen was a man of faith. He was a man who was willing to put his life on the line for Christ. All through his life, as we will see. The Bible says that he was a man full of the Holy Ghost. Now what is it? What makes a person full of the Holy Ghost? When we ask Jesus into our hearts, we are immediately filled with the Spirit of God. But you know, a person who spends time with God, you can tell. You can tell that in their face. You can tell that in their actions. And you know, there's people like that I want to be like. Jesus is number one. But then there's other people I see. You know, I tell myself, I need to work on myself a little bit. I need to work. But you know, Paul gives us some examples of what it's like to be full of the Holy Spirit. Galatians 5:22, he says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. He mentions love first of all. Love. What is it about love? The Bible reminds us that love is so important. Paul reminds us in Corinthians, he says, though I have the gift of prophecy and of understanding, all mysteries and of all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. Man, that's a lot of stuff to have. And if we don't have love, then we're nothing. Something about Stephen's life, something people saw in him, knew he was a person who loved other people. And that made a lot of difference. And that's why he was chosen. The Bible says in 1 John 4:8 that God is love. So we see that he was if we looked at the fruit of the Spirit, love. Evidently, he was a person of joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Those are just, that's not a full list, but that's a list that Paul gives us in Galatians. But you know something about the fruits of the Spirit? Sometimes you can imitate the actions of others, or sometimes you can imitate their emotions, their feelings. Sometimes you can People will even imitate spirituality, but never can they imitate the fruit of the Spirit. A person who has that and a person who produces that, that's something that takes time. It takes time in prayer. It takes time with being with God and being with God's people. And so Stephen was a person full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. Let's read a little bit more. It says down here, you know, the Bible just lines this out. I didn't have to do much work on this sermon because it's all lined out right here. So look in verse 8. It says, and Stephen was full of faith. There he goes again. And power. He was full of power. and great wonders and miracles among the people. Man, well, he was some kind of deacon, wasn't he? He just did a lot of stuff, didn't he? You know, the Bible reminds us, 2 Timothy 1:3, it says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love. There's that word love, and of a sound mind. Stephen was full of faith, he was full of power, and he was full of love. And it came from time spent with our Lord in prayer. Let's read a little bit further. It says that, and the Bible has given us all these examples. There's got to be a reason. It's because he's an example. Look at verse 15 with me. It says, when the council looked at Stephen, and they couldn't argue against him, they were in chapter 6, verse 15. It says, and all they that sat on the council looked steadfastly on him and saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now, that's something else. Just Stephen, just the glory of God just came out of him. Do you remember somebody else in the Bible who the Bible describes that had a face like that? I remember Moses, after he gave the Ten Commandments, he came down from Mount Sinai, and the Bible says that people couldn't even look on him. They had to hide their face because his face was so bright. You see, when we're with the Lord, and this is an example for me to get more into the Word, to get more, spend more time in prayer, it does lighten your face up. It does help. It does more than help to spend time with God in this life. It gives us the very power, the very light, the very love that we need. Every morning that we get up, we need to spend that time in prayer. Daniel gives us the example of morning, noon, and evening. But we, you know, we need it all the time. Spending time with our Lord. Stephen preached to the council and the high priest. What did he started a message, and he preached it on. He started with Abraham, and he just spoke the truth about God. He said, look, this is the truth that God's been trying to get to you. And he goes through Abraham, and he goes through Jacob and Moses. He spends a lot of time with Moses. And he goes down, and in chapter 7, verse 48, he reminds us the Sanhedrin. He says, verse 47, but Solomon built him a house. Howbeit the Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands, as saith the prophet, heaven is my throne, and earth is my footstool. What house will you build me, saith the Lord? Or what is the place of my rest? Hath not my hands made all these things? God doesn't dwell just in a church building. He didn't dwell in the tabernacle, just the tabernacle. God dwells in a spirit. He is a spirit. Jesus told the woman at the well, God is His spirit, and those who worship Him in spirit and in truth. And His spirit is with those who call upon His name. And Stephen was trying to get his message, the Lord's message. The Lord has shown you who He is. And call upon His name, the message. Paul reminds us that in Him when we live and move and have our very being, though He be not far from us. Do we believe that the world was framed by God's hands? You know, everything in life was created by God. And I believe in its original purpose, everything in life was created for God's glory. You just have to look to see. Let's think about that just a minute. See, I believe Stephen knew that. Stephen recognized God's glory in life. You know, first of all, we are God's creation. Psalm 139 reminds us that we are fearfully and what? Wonderfully made. We are knitted in our mother's womb. God knows us. David reminds us in that psalm. There's no place we can go in the deepest ocean that God doesn't know where we're at. We are a creation made by God to bring glory to Him. And not just us, but everything around us brings glory to God when we really look at it. My son Andrew was teaching at a Christian school this last year on Seabrook Island. The Episcopal Church in Charleston owns this island and has this Christian retreat there. So I went to see him at the end of the year, at the school year, and went to see him teach a class. And he's just learned all kind of things about the sea and marine life. And they have this aquarium, and he's showing me all these things. And we were walking on the beach one day, and he was telling me about jellyfish. Well, I don't know much about jellyfish. I know they'll sting you if they hurt you. But he said, "Dad, there's two kind of jellyfish." And he picked up this jellyfish, and this is a cannonball jellyfish. Well, it looks like a cannonball, you know. And he says, "But you know, God created it." He says, "This is what I use. God created this jellyfish to do things." And he began to tell me about that. And you know, jellyfish isn't a very pretty animal. But he says, "You know, what's amazing in this, it says there's a little crab that lives in this jellyfish. And it helps the jellyfish. It cleans it up." Now, who in the world would think a little crab lives in a jellyfish? Well, when he picked that up, and I've got it on my camera, I should have posted it on the screen there. A little crab came out of the jellyfish, just crawled up like a big old spider. I about dropped the thing. But you know, it's amazing when you start looking at life and you start looking at the things that God has created, how beautiful everything is and how perfect in the design. Paul writes this in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. Verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead." God shows us even through life Himself how amazing things are. Let's take a moment, just think about some glorious things that you have seen in nature or you've seen in life that God, they were wow moments. Moments that you just maybe took your breath away. What could they be? I remember the first time I went to the zoo and saw a big lion. I didn't realize how big lions were till I saw that one. Man, it was huge. I said, "I can't believe that." And I remember a time not too long ago. We were at Jackal Island, and my kids were small. And on the north end of the island, of course, the whole island's apart, but there's a little place where there's a pier, and the intercoastal waterway goes through there, and there's some big bridges that you can see going through Brunswick. Well, big container ships go through there. Well, we were just driving around, and we went up to that pier, and a lot of people were going to that pier, and I asked Laura, I said, what are they doing? Let's see what they're doing. And so people were just set along the pier, just looking. What they were looking at is the bridges and those ships going under, the huge ships going under those bridges. You could barely see them. But I want the most beautiful sunset I've ever seen right there on Jackal Island. That was a wild moment. That's one of those things you say only God could create such a beautiful picture like that. You know, another great moment was I had the opportunity to be in the room when both my children were born and hold them. To see a child born, you know, that's a God thing. And that's special, to hold a child when a child is first born. You know, there's other moments that you may have. You know, there's changing experiences that the Bible shows us. Moses had this kind of experience in the burning bush. It was a special moment for him that changed his life. Paul had a moment like this on the road to Damascus in chapter 9 of Acts, where the sun was so high and God spoke to him that he was blinded, but that was a changing moment. And the glory of God was revealed to him. Isaiah had a special moment like this in Isaiah 6, where he was brought into the God's throne. He says in the year Uzziah, and he talks about this. And once he sees the Lord's throne, he says, "Woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips and live among a people of unclean lips because I have seen the King. I have seen the King. And see, I think and I know that God gives us glimpses of the thing, the glory that the King does. And we just have to open our eyes. Open our eyes that we may see glimpses of truth. Are we opening our eyes? God has changing moments in our lives to show us just a little bit of His glory. You know, when we see these moments or these moments happen, we realize it's really not about us. It's all about God. This whole life. Yes, we're a part of it, but I think we're a very small part compared to God. I think when we get up to heaven, we're going to realize how great and awesome our God is and how great His kingdom is. We just can't fathom everything right now, but He's given us little glimpses of life. You know, sometimes He gives us personal glimpses where we're on that road that God has for us. That path, that straight and narrow way that Jesus talks about, it is a way that He gives us glimpses. Sometimes we call these divine appointments. Maybe you've had, and I know you have, some divine appointments. I won't forget, I think the first time that Billy went to Gulfport, might have been first or second time one, I went with him and a lot of you went with him. And one of the houses that we helped, I'll never forget, and Kenny Bing was helping me. We were working together rewiring this lady's house. She happened to be there and she started telling us about the tragedies that happened to her life and her daughter, and she'd lost a husband, and this tragedy had hit her, the storm, the hurricane, and then she said people coming out and helping had just restored her faith in God and helped her. And she started telling us that story. And I don't know if Kenny noticed, but I had to turn and just about cry, you know, because I knew right then. I said, that's a God moment. That was a God thing. God gives us divine appointments. I'll never forget a young man who was working for me came and to my barn one day and he said, Scott, I just want to know what the Lord's about. I say he was a young man. He was a little younger than me. And he was my neighbor. And I shared the Lord with him, and he asked the Lord into his heart. And I'd never know, years later on down, he died of a heart attack, but I had the privilege of doing his funeral, and that made me realize that that was a God moment, because I could say in my heart that this person went to heaven. This person went with the Lord. God gives us little moments along the way like that. Maybe on a mission trip. Many of you have been on mission trips. But it reminds us that it's about God. There's a humbling experience in that. And I believe Stephen lived and knew about that humbling spirit when God reveals Himself to us. I believe he had the spirit that Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 2. When Paul says this, he gives us an example. He says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." When we look at Stephen's life, he lived in the light of that glory. His face people noticed. His works people notice. His attitude people notice. He was chosen to be a servant to help in the church. But God had chosen him long before that to bring glory and honor to him. You see, Stephen was on a road. Jesus reminds us about that road in Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. He says, "Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in it. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Now, you know, at first, that's kind of a harsh saying, and it is. Jesus never mixed words. He told the truth. He just spelled it out like it was. But Stephen is one who was on that road, calling people to the Lord. Let's think about that road that Jesus talks about for just a moment. First thing I noticed about the narrow road that Jesus calls us to, it starts with somebody calling. The great caller is Jesus. He calls every one of you. He's called me. He's called others. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. He's calling. And on that road, if you'll look at, you'll see a cross. And it reminds us of the price that Jesus paid for that road, that narrow road that He wants us to walk on. That cross throughout that road is there many times on that road. It reminds us, it humbles us, and helps us to know that somebody paid a price. You know what about that road? That road is well lit. You ever thought about that? See, Stephen followed a road that was well lit. The Bible reminds us, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, and he that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of light. You see, that road is narrow, and sometimes it has ditches on each side. They're man-made ditches. We dig ourselves. We fall in the pit sometimes. Sometimes we get off that road a little bit. Sometimes that road goes downhill, and sometimes that road goes up. But it always goes straight and always leads to the throne of God. There's a road that Christ has created for all of us to be on. And He calls us to that road. But you know what? He calls us to call other people. You see, because as I envision that road, and this is just what I envision, around that road, outside that road, it's dark. And there's people wandering around that road in the darkness. They get close to it sometimes, and sometimes they get a little further, and Jesus is prodding us along. He says, you need to call them people. Call them. Call them over to the light. Call them. Show them my glory. You know, along that road, there's people that help us. There's people who've been on that road before. Of course, Jesus is our light. He's leading us. But there's somebody on that road I've seen before. Sometimes I see him in an old captain's outfit of an old ship. Used to be a captain of an old slave ship. He's been on that road couple hundred years ago. He sings a song that helps us. And many of you sing that song. It starts with Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. What a song. You see, these songs that the Holy Spirit has entrusted in people to write down, those help us on that road. So that road helps us a little with those songs. And there's a blind lady on that road. Her name's Fanny Crosby. We sung some of her songs just a little bit. But she sings another song, Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. She wrote that song as she was visiting a lady's prison. Somebody hollered out, hey, don't pass me by. She went home that night and prayed and wrote that song down. You see, that road that we're on is a road for us to bring glory to God. Stephen is an example of that. He wants us on that road to call people. He gives us help on that road through people who teach our Sunday school, people in our church, our friends. There's help on that road. But also that road is to help bring light to other people. Stephen did that. He knew that. He looked to God, to the glory of God, even in times of trouble. You see, the Bible reminds us in Philippians, chapter 4. He says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." But listen to this. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, but not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed." God is with us. While we look not, in verse 18, he says, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary. But the things which are not seen are eternal." Stephen bring glory to God on that road. At the end of his life, the Bible reminds us about how he lived his life. He lived his life to bring glory to God all the way through. But as I read and I try to understand his life, I never get past this point. It says that, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." When people were stoning Stephen, he was looking to Jesus. And what an example for us. He was looking to Jesus. And this isn't something that he just happened upon. Looking to Jesus was something that he did all his life. Stephen was looking to Jesus on that road, because that's the road that Christ has for us, to look to Jesus and look at Him. He reminds me of a big sunflower that we used to plant in the garden, you know, that grows up and it reaches toward the sun and it blooms out. And God wants all of our lives to be like that. And I have to work on it, I know. Maybe you do too. But Stephen realized God was with him, and that made all the difference in the world. Did you catch what happened as they were stoning him toward the end? It said that Stephen kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not this sin to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. We all can be lights on that road. I think that's what the text reminds us. It reminds us to bring glory to God. But we're on that road. The Bible says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven." Tonight we're going to sing a song that's been sung many times. That song is on that road that we travel. We've heard it. The writer of that song probably never realized the lives, the thousands of lives that song would touch through the crusades of Billy Graham. "Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me." You know, I don't know about you, but songs, the songs that are that God has given us, spiritual songs, mean a lot to me. And they help us. But most of all, these words in this book help us in God's love and examples. I hope tonight that if you're on that road, that you'll be calling somebody. God always has a divine appointment just around the next bend. Or maybe you're here tonight and you don't know about that road. Maybe you're in a little bit of darkness and you want a little bit of light. You can come just as you are. Just as you are, Christ receives you. He's calling today, "Come unto me, all of you." Let's pray as we close. And Dr. May, if you will come and lead us.